Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur from the Netherlands, Mr. Paul Hendricks. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Paul is the CEO of Gamgee and a startup entrepreneur. He's an angel investor, a co-founder, mentor, and or a supervisor. And he's an experienced and respected technology leader. So Paul, let's start with talking about Gamgee. Tell me about this venture.
Yes, I gladly do that, Ashutosh. So I think it's clear to everybody that currently in the current world of digital, home broadband is becoming very, very important. Mm-hmm. Nobody can live without broadband. I mean, this conversation that we have, if we don't have broadband at home, then it's not possible to do. Right. And it's been the utility and will become the utility of the future. And then mm-hmm. people see that and regard it as the digital lifeline. And people actually currently struggle a little bit with getting the maximum out of that. And that has mm-hmm. especially to do with the Wi-Fi people have at home. Mm. It's not of the best quality anymore, and people struggle with that. And now, especially with the pandemic and people working from home more and more and for a more lengthier time, mm-hmm. combined with kids that have to stay at home and school from home, it has become, especially in the home, a struggle for who gets which part of the bandwidth of your broadband connection. But also it's a struggle if you're on a Zoom call with somebody and you don't actually know what your kids are watching on YouTube or on the internet. So people are faced with quite a lot of struggles when it comes to the in-home Wi-Fi and the digital life. And we see that most of the consumers are getting underserved right now. Mm-hmm. So they don't get the proper Wi-Fi anymore that was basically promised by the internet service providers back in the day. They try different apps that don't really work. Some early adopters try the first smart home Internet of Things stuff in their home, but they get very disappointed when they start unwrapping it and trying to connect it to the internet at home. And actually more than half of the people return the products because they can't get it to work and they don't get the right support from the manufacturer of the smart home devices. And that's what we said, my partner and co-founder Shaul and myself, we believe we can do this better. We believe that with Gamgee, we can actually create a solution, a service, an experience for people in the home to actually enhance their digital life, to actually unlock the potential of their digital home. And that's what Gamgee is all about.
Okay. And when I was reading about Gamgee and you, it says that we can control your Wi-Fi and smart home devices from the palm of your hands. How does this work? And what is the advantage of such a technology, especially since you just mentioned that this could be because of a challenge in the broadband that's coming into our home?
Yes. So let me first start with how it works, and then I'll give you some examples of how it could benefit users. So the router is basically the gate of the internet to your home. Mm-hmm. And most people actually don't really know what a router is, but it's actually quite a powerful digital machine. It's sort of a mini computer that sits between your home and the internet. Mm-hmm. And that router basically manages all the traffic coming in and out. Mm-hmm. What we've created is a piece of software that can sit on basically any router that's out there. So we can let's change the software of the router with our software, and that software makes the router much smarter. Okay. And then we connect that smart software on the router with a mobile application. Mm-hmm. And with that mobile application, we give users all kinds of tools to actually manage the router and manage their digital life at home. Mm-hmm. And not in a techie way, but in a very user-friendly way. And our goal is really to make complicated technologies very simple for the user, easy to use. Okay. So everybody can be an IT manager of their home. And that's managing your digital life from the palm of your hand. You have a mobile phone in your hand, and with a mobile phone, you can basically manage the router, and through that, you can basically manage all kinds of digital services in your home. Okay. Let me give you an example. So again, the example of we're on a Zoom call as a home worker, and in parallel, your kids are watching YouTube. And every time they watch YouTube, your Zoom starts flickering because you don't have a good connection. That's, of course, very frustrating. So one of the things that we did is we said, let's create a separate work from home environment on your router that gives you all the priority. If you're on a Zoom call, you have the best connection. And your kid that's watching YouTube, the YouTube movie will buffer. That's not a big thing. And if it flickers a little bit, that's also fine for YouTube. For your kids, that's fine. But your Zoom call is, it has the best quality, and you have a very good connection. We also, with that, can give you extra security and privacy. So if your company says, okay, it's good you work from home, but I want a separate, very special, secure connection from your home to our own office, we can provide that. So that's in the realm of working from home. Then if you have kids, they have a phone, they have an iPad, they use a computer. You're not always sure what they're using, what they're watching. So one of the things that we combined in this one app is what we call parental controls. So we can actually give you the tools as a mom or a dad to say, okay, I don't want my kids to watch certain content. So we block the content. So a kid cannot not get onto, let's say, malicious websites anymore. We can block phishing just by going to our app and saying, okay, this user, my daughter, she has five devices, and this user is connected to all those five devices. And if I say no more of these websites, on any device she's connected to, she cannot get onto the website anymore. Okay. Or you think your kids are using internet too much, and you want to manage their digital addiction. You say, okay, in our app, you just say between 8 at night and 8 in the morning, no internet for you. So basically block or pause the internet of all their devices.
Okay.
Or if you want to have family time, you want to sit together at dinner and you don't want everybody to watch their screens, you say between 6 and 7, the whole house is shut down with just one press of a button. There's no internet anymore, and you have a relaxing home time. So just a few examples of how an app can actually enrich your personal life, your work life, and create a good balance.
Amazing. Amazing. And the second part was where you mentioned that if the bandwidth that's coming into the home is, you know, flickering, if I can use that word, does Gamgee also optimize the bandwidth that can be taken by each device?
Yes. So we do several things to optimize. So the first thing is, we give you an overview of all the devices that are connected to your router. And sometimes there are devices there from your neighbors, for instance, and they take away some of your bandwidth. You say, I don't want this device using my router. You just block it and then it's gone. So one very simple trick we give you is you can basically push out the devices that you don't want on your network or guests that used to be on there, and you just push them. So with less devices, you have more bandwidth for your own devices. That's one. Second is sometimes the speed of the internet is not good enough. We give you in our tool, in our app, the possibilities to measure the traffic, to measure the performance, to do a test in the home and outside of the home. And it gives you with green, amber, or red, some alerts of if it's not good or not good enough. You can also map out your home. So you can open our app, and we then open what we call an augmented reality glass through the app, through the camera of your phone. And then actually can walk through your home and see where the signal strength of your Wi-Fi is good or bad. And where it's bad, we can say, we can recommend you to add another device, another mini router to your network to improve it. And that's also what we can provide. And sometimes a router needs a reboot, a refresh, like with a computer, right? If you continue to have it on and on and on, there's a lot of things that are stored in the memory. And sometimes you have to clear out the memory. With one press of the button, In our app, you can basically reboot your router remotely. You don't have to go to the cabinet and look for which switch do I need to take. One press of the button in the app, and it basically reboots, refreshes, and then you have all the quality back. So just a few examples of how we can improve the quality of your home network.
Amazing. And is this app available across the entire world?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
How does one get it?
So now we have the app available on several router platforms already. So for every router platform, we need to adjust the software a little bit, software on the router. But if you have that type of software and you have that type of router that we already provide you with, you can basically download it from the App Store or Google Play Store. You can then use our app to basically change the software of your specific router, connect it, and you're good to go. So we offer that worldwide. We're also looking and partnering with router manufacturers that might want our software on their router, and then they can sell it in their home countries. Mm-hmm. That's another way how you could get our GramG solution.
Okay.
So yeah.
And it's easy to install. I mean, someone like me who doesn't understand technology very well, I can download it from one of the two formats and just install it on my router, is it?
Yes. So again, you need to have one specific router or several router types, but then you download the app. Your phone is already connected to the Wi-Fi of this specific router because you use it at home, right? The app recognizes, hey, this is a router we support. Mm. You press one or two buttons. It takes our software from the cloud, pushes to the router, and it's done. So it's very easy.
Okay.
And it doesn't need to be techie. It should not be techie. And then it's only available for a few people. We want to make it available for anybody. Mm. And our slogan is to make it very simple and easy for users to install and to use.
Wonderful. So, Paul, one more question relating to GramG, and then we move to the next segment. What have been some of your challenges as you have built such a high-tech product?
Yeah, so I would mention, let's say, three. One is it's very hard to find the right talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a market of high demand, especially in the high-tech industry, but also, let's say, marketing and business people that understand high-tech and are able to translate it into, let's say, clear marketing messaging. Mm-hmm. So it's been very hard for us to find the right talent. And I think that's a struggle, by the way, for many high-tech companies. Software engineers are in high demand. It did and does help that we have established ourselves in Amsterdam. It's a place where many international young people want to go to live and work for a while. So that's helpful. Mm-hmm. But it is a constant challenge to find the right people and to build a good team. So finding the right talent is one of the challenges that, that we constantly have, and it continues to grow. I'm very proud of the team we have right now.
Yeah.
But we need to grow. We will grow. Mm-hmm. And then making sure we have that type of team and that type of quality people will be a challenge moving forward. So the next one is, I would say, is creating mass awareness with the audience, with the consumers, because we are a small company. We're a startup. We don't have the deep pockets marketing budgets that, let's say, large companies have. Mm-hmm. We're not an established brand just yet. So getting mass awareness of our solution is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're currently doing is actually partnering with large businesses because they have the brand awareness already. They also have the customer base. So think of internet service providers that want to offer our solution either with our brand or with their own brand to their audience. They have a connection, they have a relationship with those consumers. So they help us creating mass awareness for this type of solution, but also distribution. Also value-added resellers, retailers. So we're constantly looking at potential partners and extending our partner network to help us create awareness for our product and actually also sell it to the audience. And it could, again, be our brand or their brand.
Mm.
And I think the third Rick, challenge, I think it's a challenge that most companies currently face is the corona situation. The fact that we work from home constantly and only at some points we can go to the office. And then we meet each other in person. And that's, I mean, Zoom can do a lot, Slack can do a lot, email can do a lot, but it cannot replace, let's say, the chit chat at the coffee table. It cannot replace a good lunch with your colleagues and talking about other things. It cannot replace meeting each other just by accident and having a great conversation and standing in front of a whiteboard and be creative. And those things is what we lack and what we miss. And it also part of feeling socially connected to a certain group. Mm-hmm. And that's a constant struggle. And I must say that on the one hand, all those tools help tremendously because without it, you could not run a business. But we really miss that social context and the social cohesion. And even this week, we were planning to have two workshops in person finally again. And then this new Omicron variant came up and people started feeling sick. So we had to cancel it again. We still had a very good workshop online, but again, cannot replace it. The other thing that is that we see with Corona is the industry we're working in is an industry, especially when we work with partners, that we're used to do business at large conferences and in-person meetings and taking an airplane and flying over there and doing that. And that's hard because people need to adjust and start to accept that this is a new reality that's not going to go away, and that we need to find a way to do business also through Zoom and Slack and email, and not only going out there having a good dinner and closing a deal. But that's hard because in the end, doing deals, especially the first deals, is all about trust and getting to know people, and also in a different atmosphere. And that's something that's a constant challenge for us, but I think for many companies. And we need to adjust, we need to accept and find a new way to do business in a new reality.
I agree with you. Thank you, Paul. So I'm going to now move to the next segment. I'll talk to you a little bit about your role as a startup entrepreneur. I mean, you're an angel investor, you're a co-founder yourself, you mentor startups. My first question to you, and you just probably answered it by saying that you have a co-founder, but my question to you is, what is the advantage of having a partner or going solo?
Yes, of course. If you go solo, then you have nobody to, convince directly, right? So you can just go your own way and try it out. And that can look appealing and sound appealing at first, but in the end, to me, it never was and it never is. I really believe in the power of the collective. And you actually need to have people in your surroundings that have of different thoughts and different perceptions and different ways of doing things, because only by collaborating and challenging each other, you can grow as a person and you can grow as a business. And so for me, with all the things that I've done in the past, I've always looked for ways to partner with, team up with people.
Right.
Within the own organization, but also externally. I mean, I just told you about the partnerships we're setting up with telecommunication providers, value-added resellers, retailers. I mean, you can only do so much on your own. And in this world, I think there's no other way than to partner, even sometimes with your biggest competitors.
Correct.
Because your customers want it. Yep. And so for me, it's solo has never been a real option for me.
So moving on, my next question to you, Paul, is based on your own experience, and I'm sure you've invested in several startups, what are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup entrepreneurs make?
Yeah, so I think most entrepreneurs, they have a great product idea. And it's probably a very good idea, but if there's not a match with the market, so if there's not a true value proposition, if people say it's a lovely product, but I'm not sure if I'm ever going to buy it. So then basically it's the product is not fulfilling a true need in the market. Then I think that's the number one reason why startups fail, is that such a focus on the product, but not on does the product actually fill a gap in the market and a need. And if that product market fit is not there, then great product, make it your hobby, but don't think about starting a company around that. So you need to fulfill that need. That's one. The second is that you have a business model that doesn't really scale. So you can create something, but then it's very hard to grow because you need a lot of people to do it, for instance, or you build a product and it requires a lot of support from support agents, and you didn't think about support automation or actually making the product better, that you don't even need to get support because. So if a product or a business model doesn't scale, then in the end, that's also the end of a company or a startup. You need to be able to scale and scale fast. The third is management team, or actually poor management team. You need to have a good team. And of course, you cannot always have a team of stars. That's impossible. And you don't have to be. But you need to have a management team that complements each other and has strengths in different areas. And if you have that, then if you have a good management team, you can even make a flawed strategy, a flawed product, a success, because the team will then change it. The other way around, if you have an amazing plan, but you have a poor team, you can never be successful. So better have a good team and a poor product, because you can fix the product. You can't fix the team. And then I think the fourth one is cash. I mean, startups, either bootstrapping or with some angel investments, you can run out of cash quickly. And that's hard. And then just before the finish line, you have to stop because there's no more runway and you have to stop. And that's, I think, another big reason why in the end startups fail. So those are, for me, the four prime ones.
Amazing. So, Paul, I have time for one more question. And I think your response to the question that you just answered gives me a segue to the next question. When should a startup start to scale up? And, you know, I'm sure you are confronted with this. Should you stay in the Netherlands? Should you go to Europe? Should you go all over the world?
Yeah, it's a tough question because there's no mathematics behind it, right? It's also about intuition, and it's also a little bit about luck and being opportunistic. Of course, first you need to build a product and a business model that is proven in the market and a sustainable business model. Like I said, you can only grow and scale if your business model is sustainable, right? That if you put more money in, you actually get more money out than you put in, even though in the beginning you have to invest, and you won't get a lot of revenues. But over time, you need to see that if you do the right things, you can actually turn that around, right? So you need to prove the sustainability of the business model. It does need to be there now, but you need to prove that whatever you do, you're going in the right direction. So that's one. And of course, the product and the product support needs to be well established. And it needs to be strong, good, and making sure you don't need all kinds of support people to manage it. Then that's the trigger to start scaling, start growing. And then, of course, where you grow internationally, it sometimes is really depends on the opportunities that come along. I mean, for us, when we are in Europe, it makes sense to start in Europe. But we also made now some inroads actually in the Middle East, in Africa and South America, which was originally not really on our radar screen yet, because we thought it was logical to start from the Netherlands and then Western Europe and Europe. But somehow we got across those opportunities, and then we're also pragmatic. And actually now it makes sense that we're also moving into those markets. So you also need to be pragmatic when it comes to looking at certain directions. And especially with the model we choose to work with partners. So we don't have to set up a local sales and support agency. Mm-hmm. So that also makes it easier for us to, let's say, go to Latin America, because mm-hmm. we don't need to build a sales team first. And we don't need to build a service team first. We can actually work with a partner that already has this set up.
Fantastic. Paul, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. I've learned a lot of new things today about broadband, about efficiency of our routers, of how to manage our broadband within our homes, and also how to make sure that every user gets an optimum kind of bandwidth in my home. Thank you also for sharing with me so much about your knowledge of startups and scaling up. So thank you again, and I wish Gamji and you and your co-founder lots of success. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh. It was a big pleasure, and I love to talk about one of my biggest passions, and that's Gamji right now. So thank you again for taking your time and having me on your show.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.